looking forward to that great and glorious day where the Lord's going to usher you out of this place. Would you give him a great big hand clap of praise all over this house? Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful presence, God, we feel in this place today. Amen. We are a thankful and a privileged people. Amen. It's so wonderful to see my dear friend, Brother Logan, back with us today. Amen. Amen. I want him to know just how much this church loves him. How much we miss him when he's not here. Amen. He has come into this place like a hand fit in a glove. And, man, I know the brethren in this place love him so much. And we're on your side, my friend. We're rooting for you. You're never alone. Amen. You're never alone. Amen. But the Lord's always fighting for you. We're so thankful to have all of our visitors today. I forget my dear brother's name here, but we're so glad to have you today. James, that's right. I'm sorry, James. It's been a minute. It's good to see you today, my friend. It's good to have Brother Rob, Sister Brandy, all their children with us today. Amen. Good to have Sister Charity with us today. Bless you. Amen. And we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I know it's kind of a different day. It's nasty outside. Amen. And I know some of you were contemplating on whether you were even going to come or not. I know you was. But I'm glad you're here today. And I'm glad the Lord's moving in our midst today. Amen. And I'm glad to feel his presence today. Amen. I'm going to leave this place changed. And I'm going to leave this place closer to God. I believe that. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, the fourth chapter. I want to read one verse of Scripture. I'm going to give you several more throughout what I'm going to speak on today. But I want to begin with just one verse of Scripture. Amen. Tuesday night, we began a series that I heard Brother Jack Cunningham speak on years ago about holiness. Amen. And it touched my life, impacted my life so dearly. Amen. We are taking from that series right now and teaching on holiness. Amen. This Tuesday, we spoke about understanding holiness, defining holiness, what holiness is. How many know holiness is so much bigger than the clothes that we wear? It's so much bigger than the words that we speak. Holiness is pleasing God. Amen. And today we want to continue that. I want to speak to you for a few moments on understanding worldliness. Understanding worldliness. James 4 and 4. You can shout yes when you get there. Amen. James 4 and 4. If you don't have your Bible today, the words are provided for you on the screens behind me. If you need a Bible, please see us before you leave this place. You'll take a Bible home with you. Amen. James 4 and 4. Amen. The Word of the Lord says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity? Everybody say enmity. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. My Lord, have mercy. The Word of God is getting serious, Brother Bo. Amen. It's getting serious right here. Amen. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Now, I want you to understand something today. It's not speaking about the people of the world. It's speaking about the worldly system, the values of the world, the morals of the world. All right, we are to love broken people. We are to love hurting people. We are to love the people that are in the world. But how many know we can love people and hate sin? Amen. Amen. And the apostle told us, he said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. The word enmity right there means to be opposed to, or to be hostile towards. So let's read that verse again. Know ye not that the friendship of the world will make you opposed to or hostile towards God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Tuesday night we started a series about holiness. Amen. If you want to catch up on that series, you can find that on our podcast, our Tuesday night service. Amen. Please listen to that podcast if you were not here Tuesday. But today I want to continue on this topic, and I want to talk to you today about understanding worldliness. Understanding worldliness. Let's pray together today. Lift your hands towards heaven all over this house. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to feel your presence. We pray that you bless your word, bless your people, add unto us today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let all the believers shout amen. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord as you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Tuesday night, I preached to you for about an hour, which is typical for me. Y'all know that I can get a little long-winded sometimes. But Tuesday night, I preached to you for about an hour. And I had a lot to say in that hour. But today, to be honest with you, amen, I can pretty much sum up what I said to you on Tuesday night, amen, in just a few moments on why we believe in holiness, why this church believes in holiness. And the reason why this church believes in holiness is because the Bible tells us that without holiness, no man shall see God. And I don't know about you, but I plan on seeing God. I don't know about you, but I intend on seeing God. Do you intend on seeing God? Does anybody here want to see God? Would you clap your hands unto the Lord to him today? Amen. Without holiness, no man shall see God. You know, today we jump to the totally opposite end of the spectrum. And Tuesday night we talked about holiness, but tonight, or today rather, we want to speak for a few moments about worldliness. Worldliness. Amen. You know, the New Testament is filled with warnings. The New Testament has much to say to believers, warning them about being engulfed in things that are contrary to the will and the word of God. It's full of warnings. The New Testament warns us over and over again, amen, not to love the things of this world. The New Testament warns us over and over again that we must resist the worldly system. We must resist the agendas of this world that we are living in. We must even learn to resist our own flesh. Because can I tell you today, one of the greatest enemies you got is yourself. Huh? One of the greatest enemies you got is your own flesh. We got to learn to resist that flesh. We got to learn to resist the things of this world. We got to learn to not fall in love with the values of this world, the systems of this world, the principles of this world, and the practices of this world. As the pastor of this church for nearly 7 years now, and I've been preaching the gospel for just under 30 years now, amen. As the pastor of this church, I want to tell you today, and I say this with all confidence, there is no greater threat to the apostolic church than worldliness. There is nothing that wants more to steal your life in Christ. There is nothing else that will gradually take you away, steal you away, amen, pull you away from the values and the systems that God has placed in your life. There's no greater threat than worldliness is today. The world wants to take away your life in Christ. I'm not talking about the people of the world. God bless your heart. I got broken people all around my life, and I love every one of them. I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about the systems, the values, the principles, the practices of the world that we live in. Church, there is, simply put, no greater threat. Can I tell you, the enemy is not going to show up in your life some great big devil in a red costume with horns on his head and a pitchfork in his hand and say, "Follow me, I want to take you away from Jesus." No, he's not. It's going to start out just a little bit of sleeping and a little bit of slumbering and a little bit of rubbing shoulders with the wrong people, going to the wrong places, getting caught up in the wrong conversations, being around the wrong things. Can I tell you, there's no greater threat to your salvation than worldliness today. There's no greater threat to your salvation. Amen. And I say that with all confidence today. I'm not going to give you a list, amen. It's not necessary to give you a list on what it is to be holy. Because you know what? That would make us just like the Pharisees. That would make us legalists today. And you know what? I could give you a list of all the things that I think you should do in God, and you could perform every single one of them and still not be holy. Because holiness is much bigger than that. Holiness is much greater than that. Amen. Can I tell you today? But holiness is at the opposite spectrum, at the opposite end of the spectrum than worldliness, and there's no greater threat to your salvation in Christ Jesus than worldliness. You start hanging around with the wrong people. You start rubbing shoulders with the wrong people. Amen. I don't have to give you a list today. It's not necessary. Amen. We're not going to do that in what we're talking about today, because that would make us legalists, and we don't live our lives by rules and regulations. We live our lives by principles. And the bottom line is, when you're holy and you put God first, He's going to put the Holy Ghost in you to be your guide, and He's going to convict you when you're wrong. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." Amen. So we don't need a list today of things that we have to do to be holy. We just need the principles taught in God's word at the forefront of our life. Amen. Actually, I will give you a short list. How about that? I'll give you a short list on how you should live your life and how you can be holy today. Here it is. You ready? It's a short list. If it pleases God, do it. And if it displeases God, don't do it. How's that for a list today? Amen. If you want to be holy, if it pleases God, then jump all over it, honey. But if it's going to pull you away from your life in Christ, you ought to do everything you can to stay away from it. There used to be a time when people didn't live their life by seeing how far they could push the limit and still make it to heaven. They wanted to be as far away from the things of this world as they could be, so they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were going to make heaven their home. If it pleases God, jump all over it. Hallelujah. I remember, man, when we first came into this way, I remember, man, my girls, when we first started teaching our girls to wear dresses, man, and we took them to an apostolic church because we didn't always believe in standards. I'm very transparent today. We didn't always believe in standards, right? But, man, when my girls came to me and they said, "Dad, we want to start wearing dresses." Brother Bo, let me tell you something. I would have worked 80 hours that week to make sure they had dresses. Can I tell you, if it pleases God, you need to jump all over it. When the opportunity presents unto you, you need to get all over it. But if it displeases God, you need to stay as far away from it as you can. That's a short list for you, what you need to do to be holy. Just if it pleases God, just do it. But if it displeases God, stay away from it. Let me tell you this. We're living in a world where we cannot tell the difference between the world and so-called Christians. And I'm going to tell you today, God's not pleased in that mess. He is not pleased in that mess. You cannot tell the difference between the world and the church. Amen. Youth pastors cussing people out, beating people up, pastors caught up in affairs and scandals and all of these things. And God is not pleased in this stuff. And I come to tell you today that we as the church need to work harder than we ever have before to make sure that the world does not see worldliness in the church. Hallelujah. If we're going to be apostolic today, we got to learn to resist worldliness. Worldliness is going to steal you away slowly from your walk with God. There is no greater threat to the apostolic church today than to slowly begin to slip and to adopt the values and the principles of this world. I know apostolic people that used to love God with all of their heart, live for God with everything that is within them, but slowly they begin to adopt and to adapt the principles and the values of the world that we are living in. And let me tell you something. Today they are not living for God. Because worldliness will steal. It's a thief. It's a thief. It will steal your walk with God from you. Amen. God's not pleased, amen, in the world seeing worldliness in us. You know, used to, Christians didn't watch certain things. Get those feet up under those chairs today. Used to, Christians didn't listen to certain things. They didn't go certain places. They didn't take part in certain things. But somewhere along the way, somebody determined that what used to be necessary is no longer necessary. I tell you what I want to know. I want to know who has the authority to declare what used to be necessary is no longer necessary. Because I'm telling you today, worldliness is the greatest threat to the church today. I watch it over and over. I haven't seen anything in the last 7 years steal more people out of the church than worldliness just slowly getting a hold of them. And it began to pull them out of the church. Worldliness, church, worldliness, understanding worldliness today. Used to, the people of God didn't do certain things, didn't go certain places. But many have given up the fight today. Some have thrown in the towel today. But can I tell BBA, we can't do that today. We can't throw in the towel. We can't move backwards. We can't surrender our children, our grandchildren, our families, our marriages, our finances, our health. We don't got time to go backward. We can't go back to Egypt. We got to take a stand for the things of God. We got to get back to absolutes. We got to believe today that the worldliness will steal away our salvation in Christ today. We can't back down. The Holy Ghost has to remain our moral compass today. If it displeases God, somebody hear me today. If it displeases God, just stay away from it. Because it's going to destroy you. It's going to eat you like a canker. It's going to steal your life in Christ. If it displeases God, just stay away from it. What James was saying here in the fourth chapter is that if we fall in love with worldliness, the systems, the morals, the values, the things of this world, we become an enemy of God. How many know we're either for him or we're against him? We're either hot or we're cold. Come on, the Bible says if we're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. That's not to say we're all in the same place in Christ. That's not to say that we all understand the same thing. Some of us are new in the church. We're growing in Christ, we're learning every day of our life, and God bless your heart. God knows exactly where you're at. But if you're learning and you're growing, you got to keep learning and growing. And you got to keep moving forward, because if you start standing still, an idle soul is the devil's workshop. And the enemy's going to be playing tricks on your mind. He's going to begin to place worldly people in your life. And the next thing you know, those worldly people will be speaking things into your life that God doesn't want spoken into your life. What James was saying is that if we fall in love with the worldly system, we become the enemy of God. People are hostile towards God. Can I tell you, people are hostile towards the church. Come on, I know some of you in here today, some of your own family has attacked you because you're a part of the church. People are hostile towards the church today. You know why? Because the church calls sin, sin. And the world doesn't like that, right? The world doesn't like that. Amen. It's getting more common for people to just attack the church. I see on a regular basis on our Facebook, we have to get on there and just delete comments, just random comments, random people just getting on there, just attacking the church. The world is becoming more hostile every single day toward the church. Every single day. People just attacking the church. Listen to me, there's probably nobody under the sound of my voice today that has not had somebody in your circle that has told you the things that you do for God, the way that you live for God, the sacrifices you make for God, the changes you have made in your life for God. There is somebody in your circle that has told you those things are not necessary. They have told you that's not necessary. You don't have to go to church to love God. You don't have to pay tithes to love God. You don't have to change the way you look to love God. God knows where you're at. There is somebody in your circle of friends has told you that what you're doing for God is not necessary. And what I want to know is who has the authority to change the necessary to the unnecessary but our God Himself. Let me tell you something. If God says it, you better jump on it. But if it displeases God, you better stay away from it. Because you are in spiritual digression, you are headed the wrong way, and your life is headed for destruction. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that hasn't had somebody in their life. I've had many, too many that I care to recount or recall, try to tell me that the things that I do for God are not necessary. They tell you, ladies, you don't have to act like ladies. They tell you, men, you don't have to act like men. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The Bible says you do. All right, and you have these voices all the time surrounding us. You don't have to do that. It's not necessary. Amen. As if it was at one point in time necessary, but all of a sudden now it's not necessary. Amen. The only one that has the power and the authority to do that is the Lord, and He changes not. He changes not. So what was necessary for you is still necessary for you. Come on, somebody. The Lord has not changed. He's the same yesterday, the same today, the same forevermore. He changes not. He's the only constant that you have in your life today. There's always been people that are hostile towards God, people that are hostile towards the church. But the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and He changes not. Amen. We cannot change the Word of God. And James said very plainly that friendship with worldliness will make you hostile and opposed to the will of God in your life. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is you better be careful tinkering around with worldliness. What I'm saying is you better keep that worldly. You can love people and still hold on to Calvary. You can love people and pull people out of the mess that they're in without taking part of the mess that they're in. Come on, somebody. Does anybody hear what I'm saying today? I'm talking to you about being holy. I'm talking to you about resisting the world, resisting the values, resisting the morals, resisting the system of the world that we live in if you want to live for God today. Come on. There's always been a conflict between worldliness and holiness. Question is, are we going to please God or are we going to please the flesh? Because if you're after pleasing the flesh, you won't be pleasing God. Chances are, if it pleases the flesh, it doesn't please God. There's always been a conflict between worldliness and holiness. Are we going to please people or are we going to please God? Can I tell you, everybody, everyone that's in this room today has people in your life that don't believe what you're doing for God is necessary. You need to ask yourself the question, am I going to please those people or am I going to please God and make my way to heaven? I don't know about you, but I want to make it to heaven. And if you're going to make it to heaven, you can't be a people pleaser. You got to be a God pleaser. You got to be a holy God pleaser. You got to be willing to listen to the voice of God that is in your life, because he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Anyone that loves worldliness is opposed or hostile, James said, towards God. Look, I wish there was a nicer way of saying this. I really do. I wish that there was some way, Brother Timmy, I could say it and just make you feel all bubbly inside. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes God ain't about appeasing us. The truth of the matter is, sometimes God's got to get very direct with us. Sometimes God's got to let us know, you better watch pleasing your flesh. You better watch pleasing your friends. You better watch pleasing your family. You better put me first in your life, because that's what holiness is pleasing God first in your life. Putting God first on your priority list. Come on. Anyone that loves worldliness is opposed or hostile towards God. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either for God or you're against him. And if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to pay attention where you're walking. You're going to have to pay attention to who you're giving influence to in your life. Because let me tell you something. You can give influence to the wrong person, and the next thing you know, they're going to pull you right on towards worldliness. And you're going to be walking away from holiness and fastly running to worldliness, and you're going to lose your walk with God. You're going to lose your walk with God. And please understand me today. There are babes in Christ that I know that I would rather be around than people that have been in the church for 50 years. Please understand me when I say this today. This tie's not going to get me to heaven. That dress my wife's got on, it ain't going to get her to heaven. Come on, that long hair, it honors God, but it ain't going to get her to heaven. You can check every box on the holiness list and still not be holy enough. What I'm telling you today is, holiness is an attitude towards pleasing God. Do what God wants you to do and resist the things that God does not want you to do. You don't need a list today. You need principles in your life that says, God would be displeased with me if I do that. Come on, we need to have a reverent fear for God again. We need to have a fear of displeasing God again. Look, why do you think the Bible talks about when that high priest went back in behind that second veil? They had to put a rope around his foot with bells on the bottom of his garment. He knew that if he displeased God, they were going to pull him out of there dead. Let me tell you something. We need to get back to having a fear of God in our life. We need to get back to having the fear of God in our life. If you're going to live for God, you got to pay attention to where you're walking. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You better watch who you give influence in your life to. But the Bible says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we're going to be holy, we cannot take God, we cannot take our counsel from the worldly. If you're going to live for God, you don't need advice on how to be a good child of God from the world. No, you need spiritual authority in your life. You need a man of God in your life. You need spiritual leaders in your life to give you godly counsel. Because blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're going to be holy, church, you cannot take counsel from the worldly. 1 John 2:15. My dear friend, Brother Bond, used to preach this so passionately. He said, love not the world. He wasn't talking about the people in the world. Of course, God wants you to love the people in the world. He said, love not the world, the systems of the world, the values of the world, the principles of the world, the morals of the world. He said, love not worldliness, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. It's worldliness. It's worldliness. It's danger to the church. Worldliness, the pride of life, it is not of the Father. It's of the world, the Bible says. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Can I tell you today that every sin in your Bible comes from those three areas right there? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Any sin you can name comes from those three things right there. Any sin comes from those three things right there. It all comes from that. If we can get that under control, if we can resist worldliness, if we cannot fall, if we can keep from falling in love with worldliness. Come on, these things, the Bible says, are going to pass away. They're going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God, or he that loves holiness, doing the will of God is holiness. He that loves holiness, what's the Bible say? He's going to abide forever. He's going to abide forever. Every sin comes from those three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So the apostle John told us, if we love these things, the love of the Father is not in us. And then he goes on to say that the world passes away. Worldliness is going to end, but that which is holy, or he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. Can I tell you, doing the will of God means denying yourself. I know that won't get you jumping up and down and shouting all over this house, but I'm going to say it again anyway. Doing the will of God means denying yourself. It does. It means denying yourself. Doing the will of God means pleasing God as your first priority. Doing the will of God means you got to take a stand against some stuff. You got to stand strong against some stuff. 1 John 2 and 15 warns us against loving worldliness. Can I tell you today that the shortest verse in the Bible, we all know it, right? When Lazarus died, the Bible says that Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. But do you know what the second shortest verse in the Bible is? The second shortest verse in the Bible is Luke 17 and 32. And this is what it says. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And let me remind you today, the Lord was gracious enough to send an angelic escort to bring Lot and his wife and his family out of Sodom. He was gracious enough to spare them, to bring them out of a city that was going to be destroyed by brimstone and fire. And God sends angels to escort them out of the city. And while they're on their way, what does the Bible say? Lot's wife, what did she do? The only command that God gave him was don't look back to where you came from. Can I tell you today, you better take God serious when he says to you, don't look back to where you came from. Because when she looked back, she loved worldliness so much, she could not stand the fact of letting it go. So she turns around and she looks back towards the worldliness that God just brought her out of, and she turned into a pillar of salt and she lost her soul. Can I tell you today, worldliness will take your life in Christ. It'll take your life in Christ. I came to tell somebody today that falling in love with worldliness will cost you your soul. You need to understand worldliness is the greatest danger to the church today. We better get with them old timers and start singing, "This world is not my home," again. We better get with them old timers and start singing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Come on, my treasures don't abide here. My treasures ain't laid up here. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We better get with them old timers and understand, this world is not our home. We're not fastened here. We're not here forever. We're here for a short time to get our lives right with God. This is your practice field today. This is your getting ready time today. We better get with those old timers and understand that this world is not our home. Romans 12:2, I talked about this Tuesday. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be conformed is to be made like something. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be made like this world. Don't dress like this world. Don't act like this world. Don't talk like this world. Don't be conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be transformed. Amen. It means to be changed in form, to be changed in appearance, to be changed in character. And the apostle said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Young people, hear me today. Especially you young people, hear me today. Hear this preacher today. I don't care who the top rapper or the top rocker or who the top sports figure is. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what they're wearing. I don't care how they're talking. Don't you dare be like them. Don't you dare act like them. Don't you dare fashion your life after them. What you ought to do is find you an altar of prayer and fall down on your knees and say, God, I need you to transform me. Don't let me be conformed to this world, to the values, to the systems, to the morals, to the likeness of this world, but transform me. Change my heart. Change my mind. Change the way. Change my desires, God. That's what you want to be like. You want to be like Jesus today. You don't want to be like this world today. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. Listen to me today. I am 50 years old. 50 years old. And growing up, I had one of the strictest mamas in this world. She's right there. She'll tell you. I didn't get to act like many of the kids acted. I didn't get to go where many of the kids went. I didn't get to talk like many of the kids talked, Brother Eric. And guess what? I'm 50 years old today, and I don't resent her one iota for that. Actually, I love her for that. I appreciate her for that. I thank God for that, that he gave me a woman of God in my life to keep me straight and to teach me to not love worldliness. Hear me, you parents need to be parents today. You don't need to be friends to these young people. An eight-year-old does not need to be trying to discern right from wrong. They need you to tell them right from wrong. They need you to tell them what's godly and what's unholy. They need you to teach them to love the principles of God's word more than the systems of this world. They don't need friends in their life. They got friends at school. They need a mama and a daddy that'll stand strong on the principles of God's word. They need a mama and a daddy to teach them to love God more, to love Jesus more than Hollywood. They need a mama and a daddy to teach them to love Jesus more than the newest sports figure. They need a mama and a daddy to teach them to love Jesus more than the newest music that's out. They need mama and daddy to stand strong on the principles of God's word. My mama taught me, don't fall in love with worldliness. It'll cost you everything. Don't you get too far away from God. It'll cost you everything. Hear their pastor today. They don't need you to be their friends. Come on, they need you to be their parents. They need you to be godly figures in their life. Here's something you need to get down in your gizzard today. Train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it's old, it won't depart from it. You need to get that down in your gizzard today. You need to get that down in the deepest part of your soul today. Train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it's old, it won't depart. Teach your children to love Jesus more than this world that they live in. More than the values, more than the systems, more than the agendas, more than the newest music, more than the newest video game, more than secular sports. Come on, somebody. You need to teach your children. They need to put God first in their life, and you need to show them how to do it. You need to show them how to do it. You need to teach your children to love God more than anything. Love not the world. If any man love the systems of this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Church, I want you to understand something today. Worldliness is simply the manifestation of self-centeredness. Worldliness says, if it feels good, just do it. Regardless of what anybody says, there's no moral standard. Everything is gray. There's no right and wrong. There's no absolutes. Worldliness is the manifestation of self-centeredness, the pleasing of the flesh. Please, can I tell you today that pleasing your flesh will cost you your soul? Pleasing your flesh. Look, I don't expect you to be shouting at this today. I hope and pray that you receive it today. But let me say this. If I get you to heaven, you're going to thank God for me. If I let you down and you make your bed in hell, you're going to wish that I would have told you the truth. But if I tell you the truth and I tell you, you need to resist worldliness. You need to love Jesus more than anything else in your life. Holiness is doing the will of God. If I tell you what you need to hear, and someday you make it to heaven, eternally you're going to thank God for me. You're going to thank God that you had a pastor in your life that didn't sugarcoat, that you could do anything that you wanted and still please God. Can I tell you, there is nothing farther from the truth today. Worldliness is the greatest danger to your salvation. There is no greater threat to the apostolic church. All around us in our ranks, we see people compromising, folding on this and folding on that. Can I tell you, we got to take a strong stand for the things of God. We got to take a strong stand for the principles that we read in God's word. If it pleases God, you better jump all over it. But if it displeases God and he whips you for it, you better do your best to stay away from it. Because your soul is on the line. Your salvation is at stake. Don't gamble on Calvary today. Don't gamble on Calvary today. Don't gamble on heaven today. Nothing in this world is worth you losing your soul. Come on. We need parents to train up children to love God and not love the world. Worldliness is the manifestation of self-centeredness. It's taking care of me and me only. Worldliness is satisfying the flesh. If you're going to live for God, you got to get your flesh under control. If you're going to live for God, that's why we teach principles like fasting, to teach your flesh, you're not in control of my life. We gotta live for God. We gotta put these things, we gotta put these priorities in place. Worldliness is being attached to or preoccupied with temporal things. Everything you have, When you die and you leave this world, somebody else is moving into it. That nice car I got out there in that parking lot, Brother Logan, when I die, somebody else is going to purchase it from the bank and they're going to drive it. I can't take it with me. Worldliness is being preoccupied with things that are temporal, things that don't mean anything. Don't ever get too attached to the things of this world. Don't ever get too attached to the values and the morals and the agendas of this world. Love not the world. Worldliness is being attached to things that do not matter. Worldliness is accepting the principles and the practices of an unbelieving society. All around us, Christians are changing the way that they believe. Let me tell you something, our God does not change. Our God does not change today. He doesn't need us compromising on His word. He needs us to take a stronger stand than we've ever taken before. Worldliness is accepting the practices of an unbelieving society, taking counsel from the ungodly. Can I tell you, you got to challenge what people try to talk you into doing. I love people that are strong enough to make up their own mind. They make wonderful Christians. You got to challenge what people try to talk you into doing. I remember when I was young, I made some really dumb decisions in my life, but they were all my own fault. Not because anybody ever talked me into doing anything. I was not that guy you could talk into drinking a beer, smoking a joint, or doing this or doing that. I had my own mind, and I was strong enough to make my own decisions. And every mistake I made, I never blame on anybody else. It was my own fault. Let me tell you something. We got to be strong enough to challenge the things that people try to talk us into. It ain't going to hurt you to miss one of those church services to go to a Colts game with me. Yes, it is. It ain't going to hurt you to miss church to go golfing with me or to go bowling with me or to go fishing with me or to go do the... Yes, it is. Don't you listen to that. You need to be strong enough to challenge the people in your life when they come sing, bringing something that is contrary to the Word of God. It is going to hurt you. Because whatever you put before God becomes your God. You got to love God. Holiness is putting God first. Putting Him first in your life. Simply put, you don't need a list. You don't need a list. You just need to know if it pleases God, you ought to do it. God, if it displeases God, you ought to stay as far away from it as you can. You ought to resist worldliness today. Love not the world. Love not the world. The circus is not more important than churches. Come on. Y'all got quiet. Y'all got right off the bus on me right there. The circus is not more important than churches. Let me tell you something. You can take your children and anything you want all night, but let me tell you something. It displeases God when you put something else before the house of God. It displeases God. You ought to resist it. Love not the world, the systems of this world. Why do you think they put all these things on Sunday? My girls were young. They knew, don't ask me to let my girls play ball on Sunday. Nowadays, everybody wants to play ball on Sunday. You need to be strong enough and have a backbone enough to stand up and say, Sunday is God's day, and I'm not ever going to put secular sports before my children's salvation. Come on, I'm talking about choosing God and putting Him first today. Can I tell you, we need to figure out whose side we're on today, church. Who's on the Lord's side today? Who's on the Lord? Anybody on the Lord's side today? Let me tell you something. God ain't the only one that needs to see whose side you're on. Your family needs to see whose side you're on. Your children needs to see whose side you're on. Your wife and your husband need to see whose side you're on. It doesn't need to be blurry. They need to be obvious whose side you're on today. I'm going to put God first in my life because that's what holiness is. Putting God first in my life. It's a principle. You might not be where others are yet. You might be new in the church. Can I tell you, you can be 2 weeks in the church and be more holy than somebody who's been in the church for 25 years. You know why? Because your heart's right. And you're all about putting God first in your life. And you're growing at a rapid rate and you're putting God in front of everything that is in your life. Holiness is so much bigger, church, than what we wear, the way we talk, the way we look. Holiness is loving God and putting Him first in our lives. That's what holiness is. It's the only attribute that Jesus commanded that we have to have to see God. Without holiness, no man shall see God. It's putting God first in your life. We got to figure out whose side we're on. People in your life need to know whose side you're on. You know, I believe we got to preach hell hot and heaven beautiful. Because the more we murky the waters, the more we blur the lines, the harder we make it for people to decide which side they want to be on. When you live in the church but you act like the world, you cause the people in your life to not be able to decide which side they want to be on. The more we blur the lines, the more we act like the world, the harder we make it for the people that we love. The Lord's not the only one that needs to see you take a strong stand in absolutes. Your family, your children, the people you love the most, they're desperate to see strength in you. They're desperate to see absolutes in you. They're desperate for you to say, I'll be the one to stand up against the enemy, sneaking in and bringing worldliness in and destroying my family. I want to be apostolic to the core. I love this precious doctrine. Let me tell you something. Holiness is not what people think it is. Holiness is so much more than that. Holiness is loving God with all your heart, doing anything and everything you can to please Him, regardless of how it makes you feel, how it makes your flesh feel, how it makes the people in your life feel. Holiness is putting God first. Cannot buy into this blurring of the lines between holiness and worldliness. The world can live in this gray area, this postmodern atmosphere, all they want, but the church has to draw absolutes. The church has to draw lines and say, this is where we stand. We're going to stand for God, and we're going to resist worldliness. We're going to resist the things of this world. I'm going to say this as I get ready to come to a close. These altars are open. You can practice standards and not be holy. Some people looking at me like I'm crazy right now. I'm going to say it one more time. You can practice standards and still not be holy. But you will never be holy and not at least consider standards. Because holiness is pleasing God. And if it pleases God, you should want to do it. So you can check all the boxes of modesty. You can look like a woman. You can look like a man. You can dress the part and still not be holy. But if you got holiness at the forefront of your life, if you love God enough, you're willing to do anything, change anything, move anything, get rid of anything, because serving God and putting God first in your life means more to you than anything else. You cannot do that without considering what pleases God. It is impossible. You must consider what pleases God. In closing, worldliness is the greatest danger that the apostolic church has ever seen. Just a little bit of the wrong thing will get you moving in the wrong direction. And a moving train is hard to stop. Once the enemy gets you turned around and headed the wrong way, it's hard to stop a moving train. Stand strong in Christ. Resist worldliness. Be that person who believes in absolutes and take a strong stand for God and resist worldliness. It's something that the church needs to understand today. It's a danger to our souls. It's a danger to our souls. As we sing this closing song to the Lord, I wonder if there's anybody in this place that would say, Lord, you know I love you. Come on to the front of this church. You would say, Lord, you know I love you, but I need to do a better job of putting you first in my life. Lord, you know I love you. I don't want there to be anything in my life that comes before you. Not my wife, not my children, not my job. Nothing in my life. Lord, I want you to be first in my life because I know that is what pleases you. Is there anybody in this house that would get out of that seat right now, walk up to the front of this church and say, Lord, my life is in your hands. I want everything in my life to be about you. You're the wheel in the middle of my wheel. Lord, help me to understand worldliness. Worldliness is the greatest danger to my life in Christ.